Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. Come on in, find a seat. We're so excited to have you here at Calvary Gospel. Thank you so much to those who are worshiping with us online. If this is your first time worshiping with us, we would love to connect with you. And you can do that by, if you're at home, go to the bit.ly link that you see on your screen, bit.ly/connect to CG. If you're here, you can just stop by our welcome center out in the lobby, and just a few points of information, and we have a small gift for you, and we're just excited that you're here with us, worshiping with us. We just want to connect with you. Amen. Amen. Just a... I got distracted there. We love to give here unto the Lord as the scripture instructs us. Lots of ways to give. You can go to the website. You can do it in person in the offering box. You can get send it by mail, or you can get into our church center app, find Calvary Gospel, and right there in your app, you can give to the Lord as unto the Lord to, for the furthering of the kingdom. Amen? Amen. Just a couple announcements. This Saturday is our ladies' discipleship. And that is at 6 to 8 p.m. in the library, which is directly across from the sanctuary. And that will be starting at 6 p.m. this Saturday. And then this Sunday, April 21st at 10 a.m. in our classes portion of our service, our new Elements class cycle is starting. And so we have four levels, four modules that are each 6 weeks long. And the whole idea for these is that it's providing the foundational elements for someone to grow in the Lord. And so if you know somebody, maybe this would be a chance to invite someone. Someone's talked to you like, man, I don't understand the Bible. Like, hey, come to our Elements classes. And that will be just a taste and an introduction. And then maybe it'll lead into a Bible study. Maybe it'll lead into other things. This is not for new members. This is just for everyone to learn more about Jesus. And we want to encourage everyone. So Elements 1 starts this Sunday as well as the other ones. And so just come on out. If you were in Elements 3, go to Elements 4, etc. on down the line. And then next weekend, we've been announcing this. It's a big, big weekend here at Calvary Gospel. Saturday, April 27th, we're celebrating Brother Caskey's 80th birthday. 80 years young. Amen. And we'll have an open house from 1 to 4 on that day. And please RSVP. You see the phone number for Sister Lois up there. It's also posted on the doors as you exit the building. And so you can grab that number, RSVP, so we know a number to plan for. And then on Sunday, we're going to welcome the Brother and Sister Seidel back. If you have not been aware, have been sleeping a long time, they were voted in as the pastors of the Stoughton United Pentecostal Church. And we're so excited for them and this new adventure and journey and opportunity that they have. But we want to honor them. And so they're going to be here with us on April 28th. We're going to have in the 11 a.m. service, Voces Unidas is going to be with us. Our African International Ministries will be with us. And we are just going to have a great time. We're going to have a couple folks speak about the Seidels and tell how much they have meant in their lives, in their ministry. And then Brother Pastor Seidel will be speaking to all of us. And then afterwards, man, Voces Unidas is going to put up a buffet of tacos. Amen. I would say all you can eat, but I don't know if they're going to have all you can eat. But come hungry. We're also going to have cookies. We announced cupcakes, but we're going to switch it up because we're having cupcakes for Brother Caskey's on Saturday. So come on Sunday for cookies, and we'll have 400 cookies plus, you know. So just going to be a grand old time. Plan to stay afterwards, grab some tacos, some cookies in the fellowship hall. Tell the Seidels how much you love and appreciate all that they have meant to you. And they are such good people. And I texted him the first Sunday after he got elected, and they were already down there. And I was like, man, I miss seeing your face at church. You know, and he has meant a lot to me, and I know to so many here at Calvary Gospel over the years. So with that, we're so excited. We have a fabulous ministry that, you know, oftentimes we have things happening all over this city and county that, you know, we don't give a lot of plug to, so to speak, or we don't have a chance to really highlight things that are going on. But things are happening and things are moving and things are ministry is happening. And one of those ministries is our campus ministry, CMI Badgers. And Sister Audrey Heumann is our leader. We want her to come right now and just tell us a few things about campus ministry. Go from there.
So my name's Audrey. I don't know if many of you know me, but I do lead the campus ministry at UW-Madison. And I just wanted to come up here today and share my burden for campus ministry, which runs through CGC, but we do meet every week on campus. But first, I just also want to thank Josh and Jenny for their support in our ministry there over me. And because of them and how they've believed in me and given me this opportunity to lead, I don't know if I would be where I am in ministry today if it wasn't for them. So like I said, our CMI meets at UW-Madison every Thursday night at 6:30 p.m. And we have weekly Bible studies, but we also have other events like outreach, worship nights, and social events. UW-Madison has 40,000 students and staff, and it is at the heart of the city. But there is a lot of spiritual darkness on that campus and in this city, and we can all attest it does affect Madison as a whole and our church. CMI Badgers is the only apostolic witness that we have among these 40,000 souls. And we have such an important job, and I feel that revival on our campus translates to revival at CGC, Madison, the Wisconsin District, and the United States as a whole, because that one soul that might live in Washington can go home to their family and witness to them and their community at home. But since COVID, we have been working to rebuild this ministry, and it has been tough. And there are many times when I just want to throw in the towel because either we have low attendance one week or we're scrambling to pick up all the pieces before an event, like making a sign for tomorrow. And sometimes I find myself crying out to God, saying, God, it's been 3 years. Where is the harvest? But a few weeks ago, I was praying for our CMI, and God specifically spoke to me and said, Audrey, I have called you to prepare the way. And the day that we see someone baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost and pick up their cross is the day that it's all worth it. And I'm not giving up until then. Even if it's after my time or if I don't get to see it, I'm believing I will. I'm telling you this because I think it's important for you to know as a church to be prepared for what's coming in the revival that we plan to see. And we need to pray expectantly and be prepared for that. But now let's get to my point, which is tomorrow. Tomorrow we have an outreach event where we are having acoustic worship and a prayer tent outside on Library Mall, which is the grassy area right by State Street and Memorial Union. And our goal is just to create an atmosphere of worship where people can feel God's presence and where we are there to pray with people who are willing. Now, from our experience, we may not have a lot of people who are wanting to be prayed for because usually anything that we do, try to hand out, people do everything that they can to ignore us, even if it's just candy. But I believe that we serve a God that is above that, and we can't do it without him. Pastor Roy has been preaching on opportunities and boldness, and we need it tomorrow. We have seen an opportunity, and we're stepping out in faith to answer God. We did do something similar at CMI conference down in Dallas, Texas, so we do have a little bit of experience, but for most of us, this is a very uncomfortable thing to be praying for random people on the street. But we need your prayer. So if I could have anybody who is involved in CMI or is attending tomorrow come up to the front so that we can cover you guys in prayer, so don't be shy. Come on, Kate and Abby, you too. And then if anybody who wants to surround them, that would be wonderful too, or just reach out your hand. We can just pray. So thank you, God, for this opportunity, Jesus, to be a witness at UW-Madison. Lord, I know that you are working, and I know that you have a plan for us, Jesus. I pray for the ministry in general, God. Lord, I pray for revival, Jesus. God, I pray that you would just move in everything that we do, Lord, every Bible study, every event, every outreach, God. I pray that you would just be with us in our planning sessions, Lord, and anything that we do, God, would be ordained by you, Jesus. I pray for endurance, God, Lord, and that you would just give us hope, when things get tough, God. I know that you are moving, God. Jesus, I pray that you set our hearts on fire, God, for you. And Lord, I pray for tomorrow, God. I pray that your spirit would just be felt in that place, Lord, and that every single person that walks by would just feel your spirit, God. They would know your love, God. And those who are need healing, Jesus, I pray for the miraculous, Lord, God, that we would have Holy Ghost and fillings, Lord, that we would have miracles. Jesus, I pray that you would just give us boldness and confidence and anointing, Jesus. I pray that we would be sensitive, God, to the plan that you have. Lord, I pray for the musicians and that they would just also be sensitive and that you would just move through us, God. Thank you, Jesus, for this opportunity. Lord, we praise you, God, in Jesus' name.
If you want to just remain standing and worship with us, we're going to start with a very familiar song and just magnify God with us today. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, God. We worship you, God. You are holy, God. You are worthy. You are wonderful and mighty, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus.
You deserve the glory and the Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we lift your holy name. You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we lift your holy name. You are great. You do as we magnify your name. You are great, and you do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. You are great, you do miracles so great. There is no one else like you.
satisfy the longing in my soul. When all is lost and hope is dry, when all I feel is cold, I'm coming back to your presence. I'm coming back to your presence. 'Cause there's a hunger and a thirst. Couldn't ask for more, so I'm coming back to your presence. We're going back to his presence. 'Cause there's a hunger and a thirst. I am desperate.
Thing I made it, and I'm coming back.
to the heart of worship. And I'm sorry, Lord, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry, Lord, I'm sorry, Lord. For the things
sing that one more time.
I'm coming back to the heart of worship when it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made it. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Let's just be sensitive to the Lord right now. Let's give him that heart of worship right now. God, I don't want to make it about anything else except, Lord Jesus, who you are, worshiping you, Lord Jesus, God. It's all about you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's all about you, Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. You thankful for the Lord? Amen. Let's just give him a hand clap of praise. We thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We praise your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen. You may be seated. We've been in a... Sister Audrey mentioned we've been in a series about opportunities and now venturing into a series about boldness, and this does fit into that, and kind of some administrative updates and changes that we're going to be transitioning into, and that is in regards to serving at Calvary Gospel. Serving at Calvary Gospel. Last year, Pastor sent Fiona and I down to the Effective Conference. It's a conference hosted by the church in Terre Haute, Indiana, and just to pick up what I could from administrative side of things and just church things as general. And one of the things that I brought back, and there's meant a whole lot, but one thing that we as a pastoral team felt it would be good to do was to look at our ministry placement and how we get folks involved in serving in the kingdom of God. Because, you know, we grow, we get blessed, we grow in the Lord, we learn about him, but then the Lord just does say, as we've been talking about, take the opportunity, maybe it's a personal opportunity to talk to someone, but there are opportunities all over this campus and then our extension works. And so we just want to share that and kind of refine some things, retool some things. And I'm going to start this portion, then Pastor Roy is going to talk about some things as well. At Calvary Gospel, we believe that everyone has a place in the kingdom of God, whether it's planting flowers. I'm thankful in spring when we drive up to church that there's some beautiful flower beds. Well, that doesn't just happen. We got some folks who are out there working hard. Whether it's greeting someone at the door, I love the smiling faces that I see when I come in. It makes me feel welcome here. whether it's teaching the Word of God to someone who is hungry, praying with those who need prayer on a campus ministry, leading a ministry. We all should endeavor to find a place where we can give of our abilities, time, and effort to see His kingdom shine on this earth. We're called to serve. And at Calvary Gospel, we want to provide a place for everyone to fulfill that calling. And that is the goal of ministry placement, getting everyone a place to serve. However, we are going to restructure ministry placement and the requirements thereof. ministry placement, if you would put that first slide, going forward is going to consist of three areas. First, there's going to be a next steps class. And then there are service ministries and impartation ministries. Here's how it's going to work. Once a month on a Sunday morning, we're going to give everyone the opportunity to discover their next step in serving the kingdom of God through a class called Next Steps. We'll pick a Sunday each month, probably starting in the month of May, and we'll give a brief promotion during the 11 a.m. service. And then right after that 11 a.m. service, there's going to be a short 15-minute kind of class gathering for all those who are interested in serving at Calvary Gospel. Might be one, it might be 10, it might be 50 people. I don't know. We'll see. But we want everyone to get involved. And during this time, a brief overview of Calvary Gospel will be presented, along with the various opportunities that are immediately available to everyone, immediately, no matter where they are in their spiritual journey. The individuals who may choose to get involved may have only been attending church for 2 weeks, may not look the part, may not have a clue really about the Word of God, and but they love what they feel. They love people, and they I have a smiling face. I want to get involved and greet people. I love to greet people, for example. And so that we are going to give them opportunities that they can do. So the opportunities in the following, we're calling them service ministries. And these are ministries to make the service happen, make things function. You can see first is the first impression ministries, ushers, greeters, kids check-in. Second is our media ministries, sound media, video, photography, graphics, social media. And then three, I'd group these as grounds and maintenance. So flowers and gardens, as I mentioned, janitorial, facility maintenance, help Brother Johnny out with different projects. And so these are things people can get plugged in right away, and so the requirements for these areas of service is simply faithfulness to the role and to church attendance and to the church. And now there are some that we already require background checks. So, for example, ushers, greeters, those that interact with children, that's still going to take stay in place. But we are removing some of our other requirements that we have had. We've had new life classes as a requirement. We've had baptism in Jesus' name, infilling of the Holy Ghost as requirements. And we're removing that for these set of service ministries. It was interesting. We presented this to the leaders, ministry leaders last Wednesday night. And I'm so thankful for Sister Kitty Rossing who raised her hand and gave her experience. She's like, we were in the church for 2 weeks, way back in the day when we first came, and we got plugged in and got involved. And that's what was one of the things that really helped us connect and say, yeah, this is our church. And so we want to provide that opportunity. What does this mean to you and I, to our church family? We're going to walk into church and may see a smiling face who will not be dressed as we have considered the standard for dress in the past, who may not know the difference between the oneness and the Trinity, who may not have even been baptized. I love at this Effective Conference, the pastor, very unique personality, but he was talking about driving people out of the church who don't necessarily agree with everything you want. And he made the joke. He's like, I'm teaching a Bible study right now to a couple. It's been 3 years, and I've gotten them down to from three gods down to two. And why drive them out of the church? Because they don't understand and don't have a revelation yet of the oneness. And so this is an opportunity to get people connected and plugged in and from which we can then minister to them and help them and disciple them. Our jobs as a church family is to celebrate their step of commitment and connecting into the body of Christ. We do not have pastoral permission to make a comment to them about how they should really be wearing a skirt instead of pants. You do not have permission. I do not have permission to do that. Okay, just set that stage up front. Why? Because we want them connected. They won't know everything. Yes, we get it. But that's why we're all here, to help them grow. And not condemn, but say, you know what? Hey, get in a Bible study. Go to our elements classes. Go to this. Go to that. Come to our ladies thing. And the more they connect, they're going to see some things. And we're going to talk about this in a little bit. They're going to see and realize and understand what we as a church stand for without us having to say a word to them. And let them get a hold of God and let God do the work. Amen. Because that's where outer and inner holiness really comes from, is that relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. We want them to make this their church home, so like I said, each one of us can help disciple them. So let's celebrate their involvement. With that said, God wants us to grow in Him. He wants us to become disciples or followers of His teachings. We grow through personal devotion, prayer, Bible reading, fasting. We grow through worship, hearing, and responding to the spoken word of God, as well as surrounding ourselves with those who are like-minded and want to be as close to God as we do. Inevitably, God may grow us to a place where we are ready to begin teaching others the things we have learned. And this is just the same as the disciples, who learned under Jesus' teachings, and then were challenged to impart to others the same teachings of Jesus. And so this is kind of a motto: anybody can serve, but only disciples can impart. Anyone can serve, but only disciples can impart. And so we are going to call our next group of ministries the impartation ministries. And if you go there, you can see those: student ministries, kids, youth, quizzing, hyphen, worship ministries, musicians, singing, outreach ministries, extension work team, the connection group leaders, member care, our security team, you're imparting, having wisdom to impart correction. So that's how we got to security, because I don't want a brand new person like, all right, I'm the sheriff around here. So follow me on that one. It's a little stretch of impartation, but you get it. Talking with Craig and Kirby, we got that going. And then miscellaneous, basically ministry directors, and then any teaching or preaching role. So I use this example in our leadership meeting. You know, men's ministry, hey, someone wants to come set up tables. They don't even have to sign up. Just come set up and be a part. But as soon as we say, hey, we want you to teach, that flips into impartation and the further expectation. So on one hand, for our requirements for serving, we are allowing quicker entry into service in the kingdom. But on the other hand, we are raising the expectation for our impartation ministries, because these ministries are communicating to others what we as a church family believe and value. Again, they will come in these doors. Who are they going to look at? Most likely the platform ministries. Because, again, it's a cultural thing. We look, okay, they're leading this church service. And so what is this church about? Oh, this is the skirt church, you know. And why? Because that's what they see. And so in their minds, again, some people think, oh, well, if I don't dress accordingly, and they start to, the devil starts to use shame and all that stuff. We're not saying any of that. This is what we stand for. We stand for the oneness of God. We're going to preach that. We stand for holiness inwardly and outwardly. We stand for all these various things. And so that is what the impartation ministries are going to expect. So basic expectations for these: baptism in Jesus' name and the infilling of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Completion of all four elements class modules. Now, it's been quite a while since we've transitioned from our new life classes to our elements classes, and I want to communicate again. It has been, but I think it's good to continue to communicate. Elements is not a discipleship program. It's not designed to take someone who's brand new baby in the Lord and grow them to a mature. We have transitioned to, again, providing, as I announced, providing those foundational elements that they need to grow as a Christian. And they will start to grow, but we're going to go away from making those like 101, we used to do 101, you can do this ministry, 201, you can do this ministry, because you've gotten more knowledge. No, if you want to get involved right away, get involved in our service ministries. Impartation, we're going to have all four class modules required, just going through all four of those. That's the second requirement. And then the third, after an individual completes the Next Steps class, they will be automatically enrolled into a new semi-annual class called Your Leadership at Calvary Gospel. Twice a year, this is going to take place. We got to figure out logistics, maybe a Wednesday night, maybe Sunday morning, we'll see. But everyone interested in an impartation ministry will need to complete this class. And then they will need to acknowledge that they believe and commit to those principles, those expectations that were taught in that class. If the impartation ministry involves the platform, so music, teaching, preaching, etc., there's going to be a separate platform guidelines that we will have in place, and we don't have time to go through all of that at this time. Young people, there are some variation requirements. We don't want you to be like, see a youth ministry, I'm going to go and get involved and never be part of the youth group. No, we want you to plug into the youth group, but we want you to be involved. So there may be a every other type situation where you're involved, but because we want you involved. And there will be some different things with elements classes because you're in our youth class. So we'll get there, and we'll talk to you guys about that. But just get plugged in is what I'll say. So that's what ministry placement, let's say call it 2.0, looks like. Next steps class, and then service ministries right away with growing them, discipling them, getting them in Bible studies. They learn, and they're like, man, I want to give back. And so we grow them into the impartations ministries. And tonight what Pastor thought would be a good idea is run through the expectations that are going to be presented in your leadership at Calvary Gospel class. And that way all those who are currently in impartation ministries will know what the expectations are going forward, and then we will have some sort of thing that you acknowledge, yeah, I'm committed, yep, let's do it, I'm on board. And so let's give Pastor a hand as he comes at this time.
Thank you, Pastor Phil. How's everyone doing this evening? It is good to see Brother Ryan and Sister Ashlyn Turner here. In case you don't know it, they are our pastors in Watertown. So I'm excited for them. Congratulations, by the way. So they're doing an awesome job. So I want to just talk about, before I get into Brother Seidel, Pastor Seidel, as we all know, has left us, and he's gone to take over the Pastor Thomas's spot in Stoughton. So his role here, he was our executive pastor, and we're in the process of a series of meetings with our pastoral team to take all of Pastor Seidel's responsibilities and kind of divvy them out among the rest of us. So the biggest change that you're going to notice if you're involved in care ministry is Sister Lois and I are going to deal with a lot of the, if I could say, personal side. So if you know someone that is sick or is in the hospital or has an accident, excuse me, or they need somebody needs prayer, the hospital visit, let myself or Sister Lois know that. Pastor Phil is going to help us take care of the administrative side of it, because you don't want me taking care of computer. Anything to do with computers, you want me to stay away from. So just that's our first big shift, and we'll bring you up to speed on things as we get them sorted out. So I want to talk about your leadership at Calvary Gospel Church. Now, immediately when you think of leadership, you start to think, well, this, the pastoral staff or who's ever over a particular ministry. I believe that everyone here is a leader. I believe that God has called us to be leaders. God called Israel to be a nation of leaders in a lost world, and Israel was to be his voice to introduce the world to their God, Jehovah. It is our job as leaders, as members of Calvary Gospel Church, to lead our world, our community, to Jesus Christ. So when Jesus commanded his disciples to go ye into all the world and make disciples, in order to make a disciple, you must assume the role of a leader. It's that simple. So as a pastor, I'm sure that as you look at your pastor and your pastor's wife and the various members of our pastoral team, as a saint of God here, I would say at Calvary Gospel Church, you would look at us with a level of expectation of, this is what I expect from my pastor and the pastoral staff. Understand something, and understand it very clear. Expectations is a two-edged sword. Remember, as your pastor and as your pastoral team, there are expectations that we have of you. So let's get started in this. I noticed tonight that there's an uptick in attendance because we sent out some emails and we sent out some text messages. And the first thing I want to talk about when it comes to, as leaders of Calvary Gospel Church, which we've established that we all are leaders within the church, that we need to be consistent in our attendance. If you are a direct leader over a ministry, as your pastor, I am expecting you to be faithful in attendance. Now, I could get on this rant about pre-COVID and post-COVID, and I have 15 minutes to cover a lot of territory. So I'm just going to leave it at this. You expect me to be here every service and to preach and to teach and to do my pastoral duties, and I expect you to be here. That's my expectation. This combined with punctuality. Do you realize, some of you, that we do have a 10 o'clock adult Bible study every Sunday morning? And before that, at 9:20, we have pre-service prayer. And this is going to get rough a little bit. Our pre-service prayer is dismal. Brother Brunker's here. Usually Sister Smith, John and Jess Rivas, Brother Larry, Sister Peggy, a few other, the Rossings back there. At 9:20, we have pre-service prayer. And I understand that it's difficult sometimes to get here at 9:20, then get here at 9:30. Okay, it goes till a quarter to. So if you're able to make it for 15 minutes of prayer, that would be greatly appreciated. And then we have prayer. Actually, tonight we had pre-service prayer at 6:20. And if you can't make it at 6:20 because you have kids that get off school and supper and all of that, I don't live in a bubble to the point. I'm an empty nester, and all I got to do is worry about feeding myself. Sister Lois doesn't have to worry about feeding me. I tell her, I'm a big boy. I can find food. It's not a problem. Good Lord, it's not a problem. But I understand that it's difficult sometimes on Wednesday nights. But if you could get here even 10 minutes, 15 minutes early for pre-service prayer. So punctuality adds to unity in the ministries of a church. And we need to make time. Church, ministry, we have to take time, and we must be willing to make the time to participate. And also we have to communicate. One of the most difficult jobs that we are dealing with right now is to communicate to this congregation in a short order, because we have three different congregations. Literally, we have a Wednesday night congregation, we have a Sunday morning 10 o'clock congregation, and we have an 11 o'clock congregation. And unless we keep repeating and repeating and repeating and repeating over and over and over again, it's very difficult to communicate to everyone in a timely manner. So communication allows for continuity in all areas of the church. We have leadership meetings last Wednesday night. We had a leadership meeting. Leaders, I'm going to step on your toes. We had 29 out of 68 or 69 leaders that should have been there. Less than one-third of them showed up. If you worked on your job and one-third of your employees showed up for mandatory leadership meetings, do you think you would continue employment in that company if you were a leader or a manager or a supervisor? I said it's going to get rough. My expectations is when we have leadership meetings, you better be here. And if you're not here, then I will accept your resignation. Because I'm not going to allow one individual to hold a whole entire ministry captive or hostage. Is this important or is it not? And if you're just looking for position, and that's all you're looking for, Salvation Army might be a good place to start with the kettle buckets. That's sarcastic, but I'm frustrated and it's coming out. All right, communicate, absences, be accountable. People show up, they don't show up, no accountability. Do you call in sick at work? Do you let people know if you're not coming in? You see, it's imperative that as leaders, we communicate, especially if it's a planned absence. We have families here that go on vacation, and they don't have to tell me they're going on vacation, but they make themselves accountable. And they tell me, they text me, and say, Pastor, we're going to be out of town from this date to this date. It's imperative to communicate. If you're not going to be here, and you have multiple leaders in your area, then find a substitute. Find somebody to take your place for that Sunday so we don't come in and say, well, we're so-and-so. Well, I don't know. Well, who's taking their place? We don't know. It's very difficult. So if a leader cannot attend a function, they should notify the pastor who has direct oversight over them and make proper arrangements for a substitute. It's also critical that we're faithful. Jesus talked a lot about being faithful, about faithfulness. It's critical to being used in your gifting. While talent is welcomed, faithfulness to church services and events speaks of a whole different level of commitment and loyalty to God, to His Word, to each other, and to church. So we're going to move on from attendance expectations to appearance. Understand, Pastor Phil brought this out, holiness is both an inward and outward. You can look the part outwardly and be rotten inwardly. I just want to say this, that I have probably been chewed out and ridiculed and criticized by more, with bad attitudes, with more people looking holy outward, but it not reflecting inward. We strive to live a holy life as unto the Lord, as well as present ourselves as men and women with distinction. In the beginning, God created. He created male and He created female. And we do our best here at Calvary Gospel Church to distinguish between men and women. And the holiness standard of Calvary Gospel Church follows biblical teachings. And these standards are both principally based and scripturally relevant. Now, I don't have time this morning or this evening to go into all of our holiness standards, as some people would say, all of your various rules and regulations. But everything that we do here when it comes to holiness is biblically based. We have platform standards. And yes, as Pastor Phil said, our platform standards are a little bit above, perhaps, or a step above what our holiness standards, perhaps, for the church would be. Those we're not going to get in tonight because it's a whole another set of documents that we're not going to get into because of time. But as a leader, however, you should follow the basic, the expectations, the basic expectations of a modest lifestyle. And dress modestly at all times and in a modern manner appropriate to the gender which you were born at birth, not assigned by someone in the Student Council Guidance Center. Our men are men, and our women are women. And I'm thankful that we have godly men that are teaching their young sons to be godly. And I'm thankful that we have mothers that are teaching and fathers that are teaching their daughters to be godly. But holiness begins in the heart. And the right attitude is perhaps the most important of all of these leadership guidelines. You could walk out of here tonight mad with an attitude about Pastor Roy because of some of the things I said that I offended you, and if I did, tough. Attitudes lead to behavior. Without the proper attitude, all the other things just become an appealing veneer. And I have learned over the years as growing up in a pastor's home and growing up in a church that, listen, you can learn how to put on the part. Attitudes lead to behavior. Remember Peter and the damsel? When Peter said, I don't know the man, and the damsel looked at him and said, aha, your speech betrays you. Sometimes our speech betrays us. Because in our speech, we exhibit jealousy. We exhibit bitterness, pride, strife, competition. And we sow discord. But a right spirit and a right attitude as one that says, I want to bear fruit. I want to be fruitful. I want to have love. I want to have joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And the attitude of those ministering should be one of humility, one of thankfulness, one of cooperation, and one of obedience. I will just say this. Everything that we do here as leaders and every decision that we make, we're not always right. We talk about this. I've talked to our staff many times. We don't always make the right decision. Sometimes we get it wrong. And I'm thankful that most of us realize and accept that. We make adjustments as needed. We may have to make adjustments to some of this tonight. But you see, our purpose here, my purpose as your pastor, is to see you whole, to see you healed, to see you saved, and additionally, I want to see you enjoy wholesome and gracious and a blessed and a bountiful life. And we have to understand that when it comes to attitude, we should avoid gossip. Get a few amens there. How many of you like to be gossiped about? How many of you like it when you walk out of the room and everybody starts talking about you and you know they're talking about you? How many of you like that? Nobody here likes that. Interesting. Then don't do it. Backbiting? Backbiting, I think Brother Repka is really close to gossip. It's just the next step up. Slander? Sowing discord? All suggestive, indecent, or obscene conversation? We should avoid all of that. Scripture tells us, if you have a problem with something I'm saying tonight, come to me. I welcome that conversation. Come to me. We'll talk it out. I'm not saying you're going to win the conversation, but we'll talk it out. I'll hear you. I'll listen. But see, private conversations can be just as damaging as open statements. As our worship team comes, you see, our hearts need to be full of love. And if our hearts are full of love, then our attitudes will reflect what we feel. Let's stand. What did Jesus say in Matthew 12:34? He said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I love all, everyone here. I've been struggling with this for a very long time. I told our pastors, I said, you know, this gets really personal. Because last Thursday, our pastors, we had a 5.5-hour long meeting. Probably the longest meeting I've ever been at here at Calvary Gospel Church. I've been in some district board meetings that were longer than that, but I took some time to share with our pastors. I've talked about this. I've talked about, over the years, some of the dreams that God has given me, and we've all probably remember or heard about the warehouse. I began to pray about this. And God just began to really... But when God scolds you, it can get rough. And as I was praying about it, I was upset. I was sick with this influenza or whatever the junk was, and coughing and couldn't sleep and aggravated and mad. And you know how that is. You get frustrated and trying to pray, and my prayers just become more complaining. God just spoke to me a little curtly. What Old Testament prophet do you most recognize, or do you most feel like you're, if you could be anybody, who would it? You know, we could look at all the Old Testament prophets, Samuel and Elisha and Elijah, the minor prophets, the major prophets, the judges, the various judges that Israel had. I was like, Lord, I don't know. God kind of reminded me that I was probably more like Jonah. Before you laugh too much, you see, I used to drive across this city at least once every week, every 2 weeks. I would start all the way on the west side. I would drive all the way across, and I would exit out towards Sun Prairie at 151, and I would pray for this city. I would ask God, Lord, the campus ministry, thank you so very much, Sister Audrey, tonight. That was an awesome, awesome presentation. I would go across this city and pray and weep and stop sometimes at a park and just say, Lord, we need a revival. And then things happen and all of these things came against the church, and right, wrong, not here to discuss that, but after a while my attitude began to change. Instead of loving people, you begin to disdain. Here Jonah was called to go to Nineveh, a city of 250,000 people. And he was called to preach repentance. And he says, I'm not doing it. We criticize Jonah for that. We get on his case and say, I don't want to be a Jonah and be swallowed by a whale. I'm going to go to Nineveh. Nineveh's out there and we're not going. We're comfortable here. We like it here. Sitting underneath the vegetable or eggplant or whatever it was that God grew up to shade him. And we're all comfortable. I found myself like Jonah. I stopped driving across town. I stopped praying the way I should pray, and I began to pray for the outlying areas. Janesville, Waterloo, DeForest, McFarland, the city of Nineveh was an incredible city with a park system and canals and temples to all kinds of gods and worship. I begin to think about Madison with the city government and the county government and the state government and the university. All of these buildings are built to worship humanity. It's easy. It can be very easy, Brother Bronker, to begin to despise Nineveh. It can be very easy to say, I don't care if Nineveh burns, let it burn. And God is saying, but I want you to just preach repentance. Repent ye, repent ye. It took Jonah 3 days to walk from one side of Nineveh to the other. As God began to deal with me, and I began to get down on my typewriter, my keyboard, and I began to write what God was just kind of laying on my heart and be heavy. And I told our staff, I said, we're in a warehouse. And you know why we're here? Because that's where I've led us. That's hard. And I'm saying this tonight because I have to look at myself and say, if I have expectations from you and you have expectations from me, God has expectations for me and he has expectations for you. And I believe that out of this warehouse comes a breakthrough like we've never experienced before. I told our staff, I said, this is how we're going to do this. We're going to preach, fast, pray, and worship our way out of this. We got complacent during COVID and all of that. I got complacent. We all got complacent. But that was then, and this is now. I don't wish to go back. Don't care. It's in the past. But tonight, as we close this out, and Sister Brittany begins to sing, I ask her to sing the song that they finish with, the heart of worship. I want God to use me. I want God to use all of us. But we can't get there, church. We can't get there if we despise Nineveh. Amen. The only way for Jonah out of that belly of the whale was to go to Nineveh. And the only way for us out of the warehouse is to go to Madison. God knows exactly why. And God knows exactly where and when. So, Sister Brittany, as you sing, I just want to open up this altar. You could pray where you're at. That's fine. I want to get back to what God called me to do. I want to drive across the city and weep again.
Longing just to breathe.
I want to love what Jesus loves.
That will bless your heart.
God bless you.
I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. King of endless words. You deserve. And though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours. Every single breath, I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. Cause it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I-
Here to know that I love you and I appreciate you, and it's an honor to serve alongside of you. I struggled with tonight, but we can do this. We can do this. We have to do this. We have to do this. Let's just pray, and I just want to pray a dismissal prayer. Is that all right? Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, for every one of my brothers and sisters, no matter how young or how old. God, you have called us to be leaders. You have called us, Lord, to be examples. You have called us to make disciples. And Lord, we live in a world that is increasingly evil. And Lord, sometimes it's so frustrating when we see the things that we see. I can't imagine how you feel at times, Lord. But God, you loved us all. You loved humanity enough. You loved Nineveh enough. You loved Madison enough to go to a cross, to give your life, shed your blood for all of humanity. I pray, God, that we would become your eyes, your hands, your feet, your ears, that we would take your heart, your love, and we would spread it. Lord, you providing us with opportunities, and we're praying, God, you would give us boldness, increase our faith, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Love you all. Shake hands with a brother or sister.
I'm sorry, Lord, I'm sorry, Lord.
Would